Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we want to talk about the importance, continue talking about the importance of being transformed by the Lord's glory, going from glory and glory, and why it's important for us to continue to be on that trek and journey with the Lord and our relationship with Him throughout our everyday walk. And then we'll dive into some updates on the primaries that happened last night in several states, and looking at some past prophetic that I think still applies, not just for this administration, but specifically for the White House and the Office of the President. And so with that, let's go ahead and dive into our scripture of today. And the verse that I want to highlight, and I kind of want to build off of what we were talking about yesterday in 2 Corinthians, is the scripture in 1 Colossians 1:27, which says, "To whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And as we read yesterday in Colossians, 2 Corinthians, I want to read the New Living Translation version, because I think it adds to what we read yesterday, what we talked about yesterday, and then what we're talking about today of the importance of going from glory to glory. Is it says here in the New Living Translations that, "And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more." And when we go back to this verse in Colossians of how, you know, Christ is in us the hope of glory, the here scripture in 2 Corinthians shows us here that we are to become, as the Lord removes that veil from us, to be mirrors like Him and reveal the Christ-like nature that can be within us. And as we go from glory to glory, Scripture talks about how that's the maturation and the growing from one phase of His presence to another. And it's taking time to get to this point where we're at here, because the veils have stayed in place for past generations in our lives, and not for, you know, we don't want to condemn past generations, but it's just the reality of how things have played out. And so why it's important for us to really move from glory to glory, Chuck points out, is, you know, people ask this question, and some say, well, isn't the one glory as God as good as the next? And the answer is really no. And the reason is that because in every season of glory we experience, I'm reading directly from the Reader in Our Day book, he says, "We experience a new order that God brings to our lives as we mirror His image to a greater extent, building on the foundation of the scriptures that we read here. But then we begin to add a new method and a settled plan or strategy of how we operate within the new order. It is our way of implementing what we have learned from God. And sometimes we can get stuck in, you know, old religion, old wineskins." This is kind of the new modern day terminology for this. And, you know, sometimes you can become legalistic, build binding doctrines around something that, okay, may have been for a certain, not only a certain time, but even just a certain church. Even some things throughout scripture, as we see, and people take that today and try to build doctrine or confessions of faith around it. And in reality we have to switch. Does it apply in every case? And no, not necessarily. Some can be mature, some are less mature, and some are further along. You know, Christ talks about how there's a 30, 60, and 100 fold. So you see the different levels of maturation there. And so we want to be, as the Holy Spirit moves us towards becoming more Christ-like, understanding that, you know, the methodologies of an old season do not propel us into the future. And that's what this is all about, of why we want to reorder our days, not to be stuck in the past, is moving forward, moving closer to the throne of the Father, moving closer towards being in the image of God, of revealing and not being omnipresent and being like God, but having the fruits of dwelling in his nature, of being in his light, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, those things, walking, are we exemplifying that? And that's what we have to ask ourselves and say is are we being a representation of Christ in our everyday walk, not only with those who are unbelievers, but hey, even with those who are believers and those who are in our family. So that's really partly the, and we could go deeper into this, is the importance of being transformed by his glory so that we can be a mirror image of Christ, and it's a journey that we'll be dealing with for eternity until Christ comes, but it's at least something to hope for and to seek after. All right, with that being said, want to give some updates in the news about the meetings that have been happening in NATO. There's some interesting things that have happened, some things that just hit the wire this morning, and some things from last night. A few things to start off is that Finland, Sweden, and Turkey have made an agreement. And basically the reason for this to occur for Turkey is so that, and for Finland and Sweden is so that they can become part of NATO. So this kind of removed the last roadblock for them to become. And the deal that was made is that they'll somehow form an alliance to hopefully extend their full support against threats to each other's security, as Turkey had some concerns about some terrorist organizations operating out of Finland and Sweden. And so that's kind of been dealt with there. But then also this one hit the wire this morning. I think this is specifically for the United States, but it's interesting to see. Of the Biden is now plans to bolster U.S. force presence in Europe, and what coming to find out about this is that they're going to put troops in Poland full time, which has never been done before, and adding up to 100,000 troops and planes and ships throughout Europe. Sending a ship outside of Spain, planes to the UK, and rotating, as they did during the Soviet era, troops around Europe to make troops active along the border, which was, again, it's they're not permanently located there, but the report is that they'll like during Soviet domination in Eastern Europe, is that's what the NATO and countries did and U.S. troops were doing. So we're going back towards a Cold World War era with our troops. And something interesting the president said is that these forces, the first permanent U.S. forces on NATO's eastern flank, will improve our command and control capabilities, interoperability with NATO, and management of pre-positioned equipment. And Russia came back and said this does nothing, and you know, Americans and NATO allies media are saying Putin wanted less NATO, but now he's going to get more NATO, and they're kind of bragging about this, and the reality is Putin has warned about this. I'm not necessarily sure Putin wants or doesn't want this. I don't think it really matters, because there's too much red tape involved. In reality, looking at it from Putin's perspective, is he would necessarily want this. He would want NATO to try to think that it's becoming more powerful, because in reality, because of the red tape, it's him versus literally like 25 dictators, or leaders of countries and having them come up with an understanding of what they need to do militarily versus him just saying, yeah, go do this. And that's why you're seeing the situation in Ukraine pop off as it is. And then throughout all this, there's been push for, you know, the green, clean energy, build back the world better, et cetera stuff. But again, news has come out of Europe because of their lack of supply of energy, gas and oil that they've been getting from Russia. Germany has on the verge of a crisis on its energy that they themselves have put out recently. But now France has come out and said that they're going to restart coal plants after there have been warnings of energy shortages for this winter. And they're having to build up now before the winter. So they build up now, store it. Hopefully there's enough for the winter for them to be able to survive. And so the reason I want to bring this forward is to show the realities of these green energy, build back better policies that are being pushed. As we talked about yesterday, the quote unquote private sector investments into putting EV charging stations across the country, which is where's money really coming from? Is it government funding? Is it a government grant? I have yet to clarify that, but I do know specifically that before the end of the year, the government handed out just tons of money that kind of went quiet. And in a lot of these cases, that tends to be the case, unfortunately. So I say all that to say is as the president and his administration are making his world tour and they're stopping in Europe for NATO meetings today and yesterday and today for European time, they need prayer. They need the fear of the Lord and wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit. If you've seen any videos from President Biden there in the meetings, I mean, he's a puppet. And what's sad is that these other world leaders know it and are helping the administration, his handlers, maneuver him around and what he should be doing and what he shouldn't. Cause it's a disaster. And really an embarrassment on those people who are around them. But we just want to intercede for the administration to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with international diplomacy during the NATO meetings this week. Because the realities of putting more troops on the ground, what does that mean long-term in the future, not only for our troops, but for the rest of the world? Does Russia look at this and say, this is an action that is necessary of reaction militarily? They've warned of that. And does now the wreckage that is going on in Ukraine spill over into the rest of Europe? And does China get involved? What do they do? Except there's a host of issues that are at play here. And then also, as we're leading up to President Biden's trip to the Middle East and to Israel, some things we talked about yesterday of they're making unprecedented actions and statements trying to throw Israel kind of under the bus for their reaction to a lot of the Palestinians' actions. And they're not perfect, but it is, if you're not going to talk about both sides, it's kind of disingenuous for you to say so. All right, moving on. So there were some key races yesterday that took place, and I just want to go over a few things. There's too much to really go through. Seven elections seven states and more elections, several elections in each state. But one thing that is very clear is you're seeing, depending on the state, a mixed response from progressive and moderate Democrats, and then also establishment GOP candidates, and more so Trump-backed and Trump policy, MAGA policy candidates winning some elections. And so there was a 12-0 response from the candidates who were backed in the primaries by President Trump. So that's interesting to see. In Illinois, Senator Dan Bailey, who the incumbent governor in Illinois won the GOP primary, so he'll be going up. And that's very interesting to see that a Democrat would campaign and his people would campaign for and that him win. And in reality, in Illinois, what you're seeing is progressives make a bigger headway. And in some elections and a lot of elections throughout the country, they didn't necessarily win, but they gained more ground than they did in the last elections. And that is something to pay attention to because, okay, you can sit here and say, sigh of relief, progressives didn't win if you know you're voted for Democrats. But then it's also of, no, what's down the road is as these current moderate Democrats get closer and closer towards retirement age, what's next? Who's next? Is it a moderate Democrat who has some semblance of understanding cohesiveness throughout the United States and being somewhat of a fundamentalist to a degree? Or are you going to put progressive who just want to completely tear down the country and create more of a divide with horrific policies? Governor Hochul in New York ended up winning her primary seat with Lee Zeldin in the Republican side winning, and a really mixed base for every other election. And so there's a few things I want to highlight, but the biggest thing, the biggest thing is that, okay, now that primary season is winding down is – and I think the New York Post put this very, very clearly. And I want to use this example because I think it's really the biggest example of the potential problems that could be had come the midterms. There's all these reports now that say there's this supposed red wave. And the numbers now in the primaries lead to an even more increasing ever red wave. Well, guess what? They said that during the 2020 election, and look where we're at. You have a split House. I mean, you have a split Senate, and a House is being led by Democrats. And obviously, this is a bigger election cycle with more seats open, gubernatorial races, and stuff. The primaries does not indicate what will happen for the midterms. Just to be very clear, I'm hoping that people can vote biblically moral and come out to vote. And yes, have this be red wave tsunami. Whatever, that would be amazing if they're voting based on biblical moral values. But the big thing here is that it's time, as New York Post talks about here, it's time for Republicans to unite behind Zeldin and save New York. And that goes for throughout the rest of the country, not just for Republicans, but mainly because Republicans right now are really the only few candidates who are standing for biblical, somewhat biblical moral values and sanity, to say the least. And the big issue is that, and they pointed out very clearly here, of I want to read this from the New York Post. He said, "We desperately need a check on their power," talking about the Democrats who have complete control of the House legislature, House and Senate legislature in most mayor's office and the governor's mansion in New York. He said, "All indications point to a red wave this November, and we're confident Zeldin can unify the Republican Party, take back the governor's mansion, and refill the veto pen with ink," which I think is that's a great line. And they go on to say that the Republican primary was a hard-fought and often vicious battle between some passionate candidates. "We hope for the good of New York, the candidates can now lick their wounds and then unite under a bigger cause of bringing sanity back to this state. The fight begins today." And that's the reality, not only in New York, but for most states, most races throughout the rest of this country, is okay, now that you've beat each other to a pulp, can you come together? Can you unite? And then can those, not only the candidates unite and say, "Hey, we need you to vote for this candidate," but can the voters themselves lay down their pride, listen and have the fear of the Lord, and vote for the candidate that will hopefully, I'm not saying that they 100% will, hopefully will advocate for freedoms of biblical moral values. And then once they're in office, holding them accountable, holding their feet to the fire while they're in there. And it's not something you can just say, "Aha, check, I put the right person in. Now we're in the primaries. Now it's over. There's going to be the red wave and it's going to be – we've seen from the last election, there's a host of things that could go wrong. It's not about who casts the vote. It's about who counts them. So there's a lot of things that need to happen. And so that's the key factor of what we need to pay attention to in the days ahead and pray for, is that voters can unite behind one candidate to make sure that of the two or three candidates who are up there, that they select the one who is, in God's eyes, the candidate that needs to be put in place for this season. And nobody's perfect. They're not going to make every perfect policy decision. But the reality is, it is one step in the right direction is what we need from now moving forward. Okay. In some actually good news from the White House, and this is very interesting. Again, this push from AOC and Elizabeth Warren is starting to pick up more heat of getting abortion clinics and having abortions being operated on federal lands. And the White House and Press Secretary came out yesterday and pumped the brakes, I think, and kind of finally just ended this by saying that there are dangerous ramifications to providing abortion services on federal lands, because if they're not federal employees, then you're now talking about people committing federal crimes within each state, which I think is something that is not being thought through from Elizabeth Warren, the likes of AOC. And so they're coming out and saying, look, we're not discussing this. This is not something we can really go for. And the reality is okay, this is going nowhere, and hopefully it can stay nowhere. Just, you know, declare that it's dead before it even picks up any more steam. And then the reality is what Nancy Pelosi and them are looking at is really one of the only ways to really truly get this done in trying to codify it. And that comes down to the midterms. That's going to be the big push, because in reality is, okay, you can temporarily do it with having them being taken place on federal lands. But the reality is how do you overcome each state level jurisdiction? And I think that's where even the White House and the administration understands, we're okay with pressing the envelope, but this is one envelope we're not going to press, because you don't know what will happen within each state and because you don't have jurisdiction. And so they understand authority there. So we want to highlight that and be aware of this issue. Okay. Now I want to deal with, again, the issue of the rat in the White House. And you know, we talked about it, and Jeremiah Johnson, when he released The Dream, talked about it, and it's kind of gone unnoticed. But I want to point this out, is it's not just one person. This issue with the testimony from Mark Meadows' aide, Cassidy Hutchinson, shows that it's more than just one person. There's a spirit within the White House, and if you allow it to let it influence you, it can influence you for whatever reason may be. Now, with that being said, I want to point some things out of showing you the realities of this. And we're seeing that and I want to pull this up from MSNBC. It talks about how why Cassidy Hutchinson's January 6th testimony blew the roof off of Trump's defense. And, you know, talking about how this was the very thing that the January 6th committee was waiting for. This is the very thing they need. But the reality is that within an hour, pretty much everything she said was debunked as being inaccurate and false. She talked about, and remind you this, is the people who are discrediting this aren't just conservative news journalists. It's ABC and CNN who are going out and saying, okay, is this true or not? Because I think they learned their lesson with the Russiagate story on Trump, and their viewers are utterly just disastrous. But I want to go through this article a little bit from the Daily Wire, where they, rather than what most other conservative sites are doing of just pulling Twitter posts from conservatives themselves, they're saying, okay, what is the mainstream media saying? And so they went and looked at the reporting from ABC News, and this is quite interesting, is there's a note that Cassidy Hutchinson said that she wrote that stated, anyone who entered the Capitol without proper authority should leave immediately. Well, there's a lawyer named Eric Hirschman who represented Trump, and ABC News reported that he has confirmed, and there are others who can confirm, that he was the one who wrote it. And they've also confirmed that there are people who will testify that he wrote it and know that it's his handwriting. So there's one lie completely debunked. Then there's also the big issue of them saying that, or her saying that Trump was trying to force the Secret Service to take him to the Capitol, and that he grabbed the wheel and all this stuff. Well, what's interesting is within an hour, the very agent that she said President Trump assaulted and tried to grab the wheel and told her this story came out and said, this is not true. I did not tell her that. This did not happen. And the very agent involved who supposedly told her, Anthony Ornato, a senior Secret Service official, basically told CNN and others told CNN that a Secret Service official familiar with the matter told CNN that Tony Ornatano denies telling Cassidy Hutchinson that the former president grabbed the steering wheel or an agent of his detail. ABC News, John Santucci, executive editorial producer, added that the Secret Service is expected to come out and deny the claims. This is from CNN and ABC actually doing reporting and going to the sources and saying, is this true? No, it's not. And the big question is, well, why didn't the January 6th committee ask these questions? Did you have firsthand knowledge of this? Were you there? And it's all hearsay. And another example of this is the issue with the claims of Trump supposedly somehow just randomly knowing that the people there had weapons and all this stuff, and that they wanted them to riot the Capitol and a host of other things. But again, Just the News reports that they have letters from December 2020, claiming that they knew that the FBI, Sergeant of Arms for the Capitol Police, knew that there were people that were going to possibly show up with arms, trying to create havoc and chaos there, potentially doing the things that they did. So her claims are just really being debunked. And the point I want to point out here is that there's this spirit here that for whatever reason is causing this chaos and this confusion. There are those who are involved in this situation who are claiming that Liz Cheney is influencing her, and there are others who are influencing this young girl to make these statements knowing that she lied and supposedly lied, and that this is, they're strong-arming her into saying these things to hopefully to try to convince her to advance her political career. And there's just it was a lot of stuff she said was just like, I don't know about that, even from the first moment I heard it. And the truth now that the agents involved themselves are denying it, denying that the president himself assaulted them. And so we really need to pray. And look, we can sit here and say that Fauci's the only rat, and he is the rat of what Jeremiah Johnson's dream shows. And I think that's not necessarily the case, because there are other instances of other people who were undermining, and yeah, Cheney is losing double digits in Wyoming, is they're undermining the office of the president and the respect and the honor that is need to be held for the office itself, but also the fact that there are those trying to use their influence in the relationship with their closeness to the president, the office of the president, to try to promote themselves. As you saw with Dr. Fauci himself involving, when he got his chance, he did, making tons of money. So we just want to intercede for that spirit to be overthrown off of in the White House, and for the fear of the Lord into the White House, for those workers, administrator staff, whoever involved, the administration itself, the president himself, to have that veil removed, to be able to see clearly and to be able to walk out the calling that the Lord has put them there for, and the reason the Lord put them there for, and rather than just doing things that they naturalistically think are best for themselves. And that's the thing that's been happening there. And so something we want to pray for. And then for those in Louisiana and Alabama and a few other states, there have been cases on, and I'll close with this is a major victory for this coming midterms, is there's been issues around challenges to the new congressional maps being implemented in some states, where activist judges are saying, no, you have to put a certain map up that is not being put forward by the state legislature, even though it was constitutionally protected for them to even put the map up. And in Louisiana, the case was the map drawn by the House and that has been standing for over 20 years. And what happened was on a 6-3 vote, and this is interesting, for Louisiana's, it was a 6-3 vote for, and back in February, it was a 5-4 vote for Alabama's map. And what the Supreme Court did is they said, we want to hear this case, but for now and for this election, we're going to put a freeze on this ruling from these lower court judges. And for now, you're going to go with the maps that are already put in place. So go forward with that. And then in 2023, we're going to hear the cases. That's huge because before, Kavanaugh in some of the districts that he was over was saying, no, we're not going to hear this because it's too close to the election. And I think that's the wrong response. Here's the right response in these cases. And so this is a major, major victory for sanity to a degree, but then for the actual rule of law in these states based upon, you know, what the each state allows within their constitution, and then to denying the activist judge authority to try to usurp and get maps put in place that are number one unconstitutional at the state levels, but then also to change. This is because the reason this is important, something to be aware of in each state, is that these maps will be for the next 10 years or so, if not longer, if they're not challenged because of the census that was taken in 2020. So major victory there for not only Louisiana, but Alabama and hopefully other states who are having problems. Hopefully North Carolina as well. There's because we have issues here now that I'm learning about. And so there's a lot of truth that just needs to come out. And this allows for a proper decision to be made, nothing rushed, because in the case of Louisiana, I know for a fact that this is the map that is put forward was put forward by the legislature, and they even overrode the governor's veto. And then an activist judge came in and said, no, I'm going to try to do this. So it's a whole mess. And thankfully, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the concurring opinion stating that, look, we're going to put a freeze on this. These maps stand, and then we're going to come back to this at a later date. So with that, I'll close. Thank you to everyone for following along today. And let's continue to pray for the office of the president itself, not just the president, because there's a spirit over this White House. There's a spirit over this trying to influence and have things go a certain way where people have their own agendas and things. And we just wanted to pray that the fear of the Lord enter in there and that the Lord's will for this nation to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations continue to stand and continue to be fulfilled. And that's why we're here. That's why we're praying. We're walking on out the prophetic that the Lord has given us and others to pray for this and joining in with others who are praying as well. So blessings. And don't forget, we have a noon prayer today and then no service tonight because we have kids camps. They've taken over the sanctuary and just a lot of our workers and staff are working it. And then we just want to let them focus on that because they're being worn out through this and playing with kids and stuff. I've been there, done that. And so, but tonight we will not have service. We will have noon prayer today. And then we'll be back tomorrow as well, standing and praying for the office of the president. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.